Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Gary, thank you very much for that. Now, new findings reveal that more than 4 cups of coffee a day increases chances of a stroke by a third, while drinking water and tea may reduce the risk of stroke. Global research studies, co-led by University of Galway and an international network of stroke researchers, also shows consuming frequent fizzy drinks doubles the risk of a stroke. We're joined now by lead researcher Professor Andrew Smith, who's Professor of Clinical Epidemiology at the University of Galway and consultant physician at Galway University Hospital. And you're welcome, Andrew, to the programme. You might start, if you don't mind, by telling us a bit more about the research.
Thanks very much, Sarah. So the Interstroke study was a study of 13,500 people who had their first stroke. And we also included 13,500 other people who didn't have a stroke. And it was conducted in 27 countries around the world, including Ireland. And what we did was we asked people about lots of different possible risk factors for stroke, but the focus of this research was looking at how much tea, coffee, water, fizzy drinks, fruit juice and drinks people consumed each day. And we then compared the results in people who'd had a stroke compared to the people who hadn't had a stroke. And we use a lot of statistics to adjust and control for other things. And you mentioned already a lot of our key findings.
Okay, so that is that if you have more than 4 cups of coffee a day, that increases your chances of stroke by a third.
Yes. And that was all types of stroke. So some strokes occur due to clots, that's an ischemic stroke, and some occur due to hemorrhage. Most of the effect we saw was for stroke due to clots, which would be the most common type in about 80 to 90%. But one of the interesting things, I suppose, our challenges with our research was that we couldn't really tell you what type of coffee or details about the coffee. So one of the challenges here is you can see even in Irish society over the last number of years, people's coffee consumption habits have changed hugely. I think when we were children, a lot of people drank coffee, were drinking instant coffee, whereas a lot of people now are drinking much stronger coffees with different additives and brewing methods and all sorts of different things.
Can I ask you about
that? I think that's probably it over the world.
Andrew, as a 4 coffee a day type of person, right? Sarah looks at me in this. I am, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's always tea, I see.
That's why I'm always alert and alive and asking fantastic questions of Andrew and other guests. So is it progressive, Andrew? So if I drink 2, is there still a risk, 3 more risk, 4? Or is there an absolute shelf in terms of the risk at 4 coffees?
What we found was a cutoff that the risk only increased once you went over 4. Now, what that might mean is that there are some potential benefits from coffee, like you see with tea, because it does have some antioxidants in it. But the counter argument to that is that there's also a lot of caffeine and other things that might increase people's blood pressure. And we know that blood pressure is the main risk factor for stroke. So that's possibly where it comes from.
Okay.
The other thing is, if we knew more about what people were adding in terms of sugars and syrups and those kind of things, some of the effects might actually be coming from those rather than the coffee directly itself.
Really? I remember reading about this before. Is it the polyphenols? Is that the antioxidant in coffee? You get the same from dark chocolate, don't you? So would the same, I mean, this is a really simplistic question, would the same risk occur if you had too much dark chocolate, for example?
I don't know. I suppose in theory it could, but I think one of the things we found, and like our benefit in terms of risk of stroke that we noticed for tea, when we went into looking at that beneficial reduction was lost when we looked at people who added milk to tea. So one of the questions is, the tea and the coffee may have polyphenols and antioxidants in it, but when you add other things to it, like milk or sugars or things, they may actually block or stop some of the effects of the beneficial things.
Oh, that is terrible news. Who wants to drink tea without milk?
I drink tea without milk.
Oh, that should offset your 4 coffees a day then, hopefully.
After the coffee, yeah.
So talk me through a little more detail about the benefits of drinking tea. Is it any type of tea? Is it herbal tea?
So we asked people about black tea, green tea and other tea. And I suppose when I say black tea, I mean tea like berries or limes or a lot of what we consume in Ireland, not necessarily tea without milk. Because I noticed when I moved abroad, I often didn't realise that tea was not just one thing like it is in most of Ireland. But the reduction we showed was for people that were drinking any type of tea. But when we did, as I said earlier, when we looked into the addition of milk to it, you lost some of the beneficial effect. Now, that may be different depending on the type of milk, the amount of milk, where you are in the world, because we did also find with tea that there were differences in geographical regions. So there was a big reduction in stroke risk in China, but a lot of that we think is because people were probably drinking green tea or other teas where milk would never be added.
Okay.
But there was a big increase in Asia.
We've loads of questions coming into 51551 on the fizzy drinks, and we'll get into that in more detail, but one person has wondered, does that include sparkling water?
For the purposes of what we did, no, because we asked about water separately. So it's mostly the kind of soft drinks.
And what about decaf coffee, Paul is wondering.
Yeah, so we didn't have information to split up between decaf and caffeinated. I would suspect that decaf coffee would be better for you because it wouldn't have the caffeine content and wouldn't push up your blood pressure quite as much.
Now, talk to me in more... Sorry, Cormac. Yeah. Just talk to me in more detail about the fizzy drinks specifically and what did you find there?
Yeah, so what we found was that we asked people how often they drank fizzy drinks. So for people who drank one fizzy drink a day or had a fizzy drink once per day, there was a 22% increase, so about a 1 in 5 increase in risk. If you were drinking two a day, there was a 76% increase, so about 3/4 of a risk. And once you went above that, it was well over doubling your risk. Now, the big challenge we have here is that we can't separate out whether these are regular fizzy drinks or whether these are diet or zero sugar drinks. Now, there's a potential benefit from the zero sugar and diet in that it doesn't have the sugar content, but there are concerns about additives and sweeteners like aspartame and other things that are in those drinks that may also cause some of those challenges.
The research is startling, Andrew, because depending on what you drink, there's a significant increase, or go back to the tea now for a second, a significant decrease, isn't it? So 3 to 4 black tea or green teas reduced the risk by a quarter. Now, that's really significant. Can I ask you, and I don't know if you looked at this, does it pertain to loose tea or tea bag tea, or does it matter?
We didn't look at it because we didn't have the information. I suspect it would matter because I think some of the tea bags and some teas would be more processed than others. And I suspect something that's more processed, not unlike what we would see for fruit drinks or not unlike what you would see with diet in general, when it's very processed, you may lose some of the benefits because most tea comes from the same plant originally. It's just when it's handled, it gets oxidized, and that's what differentiates it from black to green to other.
Okay.
And I think if you're heavily milling it and processing it, you may lose some of the chemical benefits.
And just to be sure, to be clear on this, it's not the caffeine in the tea or the coffee that causes the effect. It's the other antioxidants, is it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's more likely to be that because both tea and coffee have caffeine in them. And if it was purely caffeine, we'd have expected a very similar effect with tea. But I think the difference is tea probably has more antioxidants that are available and more substances that are available to the body than would be with coffee. I also suspect it's some of this is coming from the sugar and the additions that might be a bit more common in coffee than there would be in tea.
Brendan Leitrim is wondering, what is the size of a cup of coffee? Like, is it a cup or is it a mug or what sort of...
Yeah, so what we asked people here when we said a cup, it was 250 mils, which is about 8 ounces. So it'd be a fairly standard cup. But that still doesn't tell you whether it's espresso, whether it's something like, you know, people getting extra shots, or whether it's instant.
Okay. And just finally then, through all this research, water remained the top drink.
It did, yeah. And people that drank the most amount of water had a reduction in their chance of stroke. And I think ultimately the challenge here is that, you know, if you're drinking a lot of water, you may be drinking less of the others. So we did actually try to adjust for and count in the fact that you're hardly drinking 8 cups of coffee and 8 cups of tea and 8 cups of water.
Okay.
You'd be about 6 litres at that.
But if you're picking up a drink, water is the one to go for.
Water is definitely the one to go for, yeah.
All right, Andrew, very interesting to speak to you, and thank you so much. That's Professor Andrew Smith from Galway University Hospital.